call to order this regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska on September 13, 2016 at 7 p.m. The Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Becky Rooney, and if you'd remain standing for the invocation to be given by Kay Larson from the Baha'i Faith.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
I'm reading from a book of prayers for children, for all the children of the world as they head back to school and learning. O thou compassionate God, bestow upon me a heart which, like unto a glass, may be illumined with the light of thy love, and confer upon me thoughts which may change this world into a rose garden through the outpourings of heavenly grace. Thou art the compassionate, the merciful, thou art the great, beneficent God.
Thank you. We have no ceremonial matters this evening. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Slate?
Here.
Rusanka? Rooney?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Powell? Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Does anyone have any amendments to the agenda? Item 4, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? Item 5, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed in the consent agenda and those items marked with an asterisk, items 6A and 7A.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. We move on to item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
Before you, we had our first ANSEP meeting last night, and there is a, I think Kim handed out just the things that we have done so far. So we're just kind of getting organized, but there's a list of things. I think first and foremost, we're getting the support of the Native organization locally, regionally, and statewide, and kind of working on those things. There'll be some other things we'll be working on, but anyway, that was our first meeting, so we're off and running. We'll give reports back to the assembly at each meeting. We'll probably meet as once a month for a while here, or more often if needed, but that's kind of where we're at. The paving around town is completed. A variety of streets we've done, and that we luckily got a short window there of good weather to do that, and then they were able to do some other things around town. Bob's next door, they did that, and so we're pleased that we finally got that done. The barge ramp over here is also completed. There's an item for a change order later on tonight for some things, additional things that we had to have done over there that were not known at the time of the bid. Wood Street's on schedule and to be completed by the middle of October. They're starting to put in the curbs right now. So hopefully they get some decent weather here pretty soon, but that's all the underground, I believe, is done. All the water and the various things that they have to do there, the storm drains. Water treatment plant, a couple things there. Amber and staff and the engineers are working on a plan to do the sand cleaning this winter. So what they'll do is there's a process. They've done it at another plant, and they basically suck it up in a dredge, and it goes through a cleaning process, and I believe piles it up, and then when it's all clean, they'll bring it back in. And since that sand hasn't been cleaned since it went in there, we're hoping that does a lot of good, because it's never been cleaned. So we'll do that this winter, and we think that will certainly help a lot for this coming processing year. They're also working with both the engineers and will be working with DEC to get clearance to do the changes to the roughing filter. And we think that also will allow us to clean that better. And those are probably the two main things that we'll be doing between now and next year. The other thing we'll be doing, obviously, is starting way sooner with conservation, talking to the processors, you know, and if there's things that I think Sea Level's still working on with DEC to make some changes down there. And if the changes happen that they've talked about to us earlier, you know, that could reduce as much as, you know, 60 to 70% of their usage, something like that. And at the same time, we're working with USDA on a funding for the new plant, and one of their requirements, which was not part of the pilot plant, was the report that will come out on the pilot plant to be eligible to start with the USDA and the funding has to contain a preliminary engineering portion of that. And they've done, the report would come out with something like that, but not to the detail that they have need at USDA to move the application along. So there's also something later on that will ask the assembly to modify that agreement with our engineer to allow them to do that work so it's eligible to for the USDA funding. And USDA is encouraging us to move along. So part of that funding probably will be in the form of a loan. And then we're hoping that certainly the majority of it would be grant funds. So they look at your utility and decide how much of that they feel you can absorb in a loan. And then the balance of it would be in the form of a grant. So, and I think that's about it, unless anybody has any questions.
I just, one more. Assembly member Prezant could be back.
He won't be back at all this month, and then he may attend meetings in October via telephone. I'm not sure when exactly he'll be back.
Since he was the one who requested the water report, the detailed report, I'd like to see that on the agenda at the time when he is here.
Okay.
And it probably should be an executive session because I think there will be some discussion of personnel issues.
Okay.
Well,
if the personnel issues are me, that's kind of an eligible thing. But if it's about other employees, then it's probably, according to the code, I'm just saying that's
right, because you have to, for instance, when you do an executive session, you have to say the borough clerk or the borough manager, and so you can't, if you name somebody, if it's the assembly naming matters of personnel on somebody other than the borough manager or myself, then that would not be allowed according to
and we can
code.
Check with the attorney on that. Okay. but I'm pretty sure that personnel issues, you know, discipline or any of those kind of things, and certainly the manager's fair game saying, you know, we're not happy with this or that, or you need to go, or whatever the case may be. But I think that's where generally in other words, if the assembly is getting into personnel issues and where it's discipline or things of that nature, but you can say it in a way that the manager
we can ask you why.
Sure.
Something.
Sure.
And
in my manager's
the report, in my opinion, wasn't complete.
Okay.
There's some other issues I'd like to see in there, such as a few years ago the funding for the sand washer. It was in the budget for 3 years. And I know this was before yourself, you were in your position and Amber was in her position. But it was funded for 3 years, and I don't know what happened to the money. It probably went in something else, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I don't remember that, but...
Well, I know, it was before your time.
Right.
But you wanted in an executive session when Assemblymember Prasanka is here, or...
Yes.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Thank you. Borough Clerk's file.
Other than what's in my report, the only thing I have is that we did receive, of course, a write-in letter of intent from Patty Gilbert for the other vacancy on the Borough Assembly for a 3-year term. Other than that, I haven't received any more letters of intent. We still have a open seat on the ballot for the Port Commission for a 3-year term. So, but I have had some interest, so I'm thinking we probably will get.
Is there a time limit for that?
Mm-hmm. September 30th, 5 o'clock. So that's the Friday preceding the regular election. If we don't get a letter of intent for the write-in, then it would go up as a vacancy after the election, and the Assembly would appoint for the year up until the next election for the remaining term.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions or comments? Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Does any Assembly member have any? Okay. And there are the empty seats on the various boards and commissions. The Planning and Zoning Commission has unexpired until October of 2017. Economic Development Committee has non-expired till October 2018. And then the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board has 3 openings, but that may be a mood issue, so we're not going to be concerned. And there were no letters received for any of these vacancies anyway.
No.
Thank you. Persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless an Assembly member has specific questions regarding the item.
There are
no persons to be heard. And we move on to unfinished business. Proposed ordinance number 922 is amended. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Rainville, Alaska, amending certain sections of Chapter 15.16, Cemetery of the Rankle Municipal Code relating to cemetery fees. This is a second reading as amended.
Move to adopt ordinance number 922 as amended.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Go ahead.
Okay. I would like to say that I realize that we need to bring these costs up to what the actual cost is for services, and I have no problem with that. But there again, I think we're getting taxed to death, and with this one, we're getting taxed after death. So, today, we're getting a lot more cremations and a lot fewer burials. What I would hate to see is you got a lot of natives, you got a lot of old-time residents that are dying and may not can afford some of these services, and maybe they should be allowed to be buried here. And if it's going to cost the borough something to do that, I would kick in my share to have that done. It's not like we're knocking the door down.
Go ahead.
Just one thing. I do know that, you know, the costs here are kind of what it costs for the public works and that. The cost that's not included in here is we're looking at doing a new cemetery, and we're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that, and we'll never recover that in these fees, but, and we're not even asking to do that. We'll take the money out of somewhere, and, but we're getting close to where we don't have anybody to put anybody, even if they want to, and I think you are right. More people are doing cremations, and that makes it easier on the system, but there are still people that want to be buried. So anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Is it possible to put a clause in here for indigent residences, people that have lived here long term, mm-hmm. that want to be buried here but don't have the money to be able to do it?
I would not suggest doing that, because if you're, then you're going to have to keep track of that, and it's, if you're going to do it for one, you got to do it for all. But there's two things. There are numerous residents that have reserved plots, and they've paid for their plots, and so they're not, of course, so it's like retroactive. There's also for when somebody passes away, if they can't afford the services, their family can apply with Ketchikan Mortuary to have that service paid for, and that happens often.
Do we have a fund as a borough to assist people if they need? Could we set up some kind of a fund for the needy?
Well, is that what you're saying, Ketchikan Mortuary?
Well, Ketchikan Mortuary does it. It's state. It's through the state. If you can't afford to.
Does that pay for the lot?
It
and
does.
The services?
And the services.
And this is a state-funded program?
I'm not sure. It's through Ketchikan Mortuary. It's not through us at all. However, if somebody comes in and wants to, if they set up cemetery services with me and they're going to pay for it, which you'd be amazed how many people want to pay for it themselves. They don't want assistance. They can pay. We don't charge any taxes, any fees, or late fees. We just say, you know, we'll set it up on an AR, and they just come in and pay it when they can.
Okay. Sort of the prepay system, mm-hmm. that includes the plot and the services?
If they did that. Because a lot of them, like a lot of people bought like family plots, so they paid for their plots, and some of them paid for their burial service as well.
Okay.
Some of them have not. I mean, I have reserved plots that they paid $10. I mean, they're so, you know, from so long ago. So, yeah.
Any further questions, comments? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
No.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 12B, proposed ordinance number 923, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 2.24.040, absentee voting by mail, of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to the procedures for absentee voting by mail. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 923.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 12C, approval of the revised local contractors list. This was postponed from the regular assembly meeting held August 23rd, 2016.
Move to approve the revised contractor policy as presented.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Mr. Yes. Mayor. We provided definitions for a contractor, what it means to be local, a general contractor, and a specialty contractor. Amber actually provided that from the state statutes. We modified the contractor definition a tiny bit to so it fit us a little better, but that's where that came from. The other thing so that we did is anything under $5,000, we changed that so it goes to the next person on the list automatically. There's no quotes. From 5 to 10, everybody would that's on the list for whatever that is would be included in a quote, and then anything over $10,000 would go to our ordinance, how that is. So this is basically everything under $10,000. So I think with the contractor list, if it's something, I think Mark had a deal where if you had a, So if you had to take your, say the shop had someone on vacation and they needed to take it over to John's Stikine Auto, you could do that. It's not a contractor. If you need to go down to the Bay Company, it's not a contractor. If you need to go to Bunis Brothers and have something worked on, an outboard or whatever. So I think that will take care of those kind of things where it's people that are normally contracting, having the definition. So I think we've answered and added the various things that were of concern of the assembly, but certainly we're open for discussion.
Anyone have any further discussion? I think there's always going to be something that somebody finds a problem with it.
But we can keep, as things come up, we'll try to address them and fix them. And I think each time we do this, it gets better. So.
Well, you can't please everyone either.
I've learned that a long time ago.
Any further discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 12D, discussion and possible action regarding scrap metal removal options in Wrangell. This was added at the request of Assembly Member Rooney and was postponed from the regular assembly meeting held August 23rd, 2016. Yes.
I brought this up because I have a concern about derelict vehicles and derelict boats. And after talking to people from Sitka who have actually dealt with this problem in the last 10 years, and also looking at some of the ordinances from Ketchikan, I think that we have a lot of options and there's a lot of ways to attack this. So I would like to ask for a workshop so that we can come up with some skeleton of where we want to start. And then we can bring it to the assembly for actual ordinance incorporation or whatever we decide to do at the workshop.
Do we need to include any of the other boards in that workshop, planning and zoning?
Yeah, if they would attend, that might be a good idea. And the reason I say that is because I think that we will have to enforce this at some point. And, planning and zoning is probably the place that should happen. So. I mean, part of this, we may have some ways to work with this issue within our own ordinances if we can figure out a way to actually enforce them.
Yeah.
Just one side note to that. I don't know if Amber had a chance to talk to...
Phone calls in, but never turned.
Okay. It sounds like... we've heard that Eilerson's property out the road, 13 mile, there's been starting to be an accumulation of stuff. Randy Oliver contacted me this weekend, and it sounds like guy Shorty, the channel construction, is going to come through here in a barge, pick that up. Sound like Randy has a bunch of stuff. We're going to see if we can get rid of everything we have at the dump. But it might be an opportunity, it's not going to be... solve the problem, but if we can ask them if they could take more stuff, if they would come and get it, maybe there's people in town that would just volunteer to get rid of it if someone would come and pick it up. And so anyway, we're going to check with him to see what he thinks he's going to have available for space on his barge. But I know they stack that thing to the...
Well, part of the problem, Jeff, and that we're facing is that stuff that went out the road, there's no place to put it. So mental health demanded that it went off the gravel pit at Stowe's place, and basically the dump is full and there's no place to send this stuff. So we either have to make a place to send it till we can get rid of it. But I think that's great. Let's get rid of everything we can. Yeah. I don't know how much space he's going to have, but I think we could fill a barge or two or three
and
not even bat an eye.
And maybe that's what we need to do.
Basically, we're giving it away, and that's not a problem, but I mean...
Right.
Just getting somebody to come and take it is the cost.
Yeah. It costs.
And I can tell you, Amber's been working with they were kind of the second place with the regional waste people.
Solid Waste Management Authority.
And anyway, they were talking about, they want to obviously be involved in the next time we bid out our stuff, but they were also working with her on a continuous plan of how to deal with this on an ongoing thing so you don't have this buildup. And, you know, if someone decides they can't come in here, you can't just keep piling it up. So, but I think that had to do with how to deal with the, you know, batteries and other waste things that we used to, you know, paint and all the other different things that we get. So she's been working with them to look at a long-term solution and a plan. So at least for the city's part of it, that doesn't address people's junk in their yard and cars all over town. And so,
yeah.
I know I was out at the dump on Friday to drop some stuff off, and I noticed that it really seems to have filled up with scrap metal, everything from old cars to washers and dryers and refrigerators. Do, when people bring things like that out there, is there a fee for them dropping that off? Do we charge for that at all, or is there?
Mm-hmm. We do. It's very minimal. It's not where it needs to be. We charge by the cubic yard. We should be charged by the weight.
Yeah, because I know you drive across that scale there, but maybe that's something we need to look at, because this is going to eventually start costing us to get it shipped out of here.
Well, yes, it's going to cost us to get it shipped out, but would you rather have it junk up the town or go to a central location? Personally, I would rather have a location that this stuff can go to if we didn't charge them anything, so that the lots and the harbors and everything else isn't junked up. If people have to pay to get rid of it, they won't get rid of it. It'll sit in the front yard.
That's true.
So let's just haul it away, and if we have to have a special location somewhere, Jeff, I would be more in favor of stockpiling it. Eventually, scrap prices will come back up, and we can get rid of it.
But that's kind of what I want to talk, you know, those yeah. are the issues.
And so those are the issues we have yeah. to face here.
And but then we don't want to get advice from directing your
exactly.
situation going where we have contamination either, and then we have yeah. to pay
well, if it's
thousands
going,
or the dollars to get it cleaned up.
Sure. If it's going to our location, we can control that. We can control batteries. We can control tanks. We can sort the stuff out as it comes to the burrow.
And one of the problems we have, of course, to you know, land selection to do that, and then, you know, it's going to cost some money to do it. You're going to be at another location. You've got to secure that. It's going to cost something to do that. So, you know, like I said, you start looking at a new cemetery. You're looking at this and that, and the fees don't cover those things, and so it's going to have to come from somewhere. And so we're trying to, you know, look at ways that, and I think, you know, I think with what they're looking at now, it would be a continuous thing where you wouldn't have that stuff that long, and you'd ship it out and get rid of it. And but it is a big problem.
You know, other communities have found ways to create new revenue by, you know, putting a small addition to the motor vehicle licensing, because your vehicle eventually becomes a piece of garbage that you need to get rid of. And that's one way that they have taken care of both derelict boats and cars. So, you know, that's an option that has worked in other communities really
and
well.
And I think all this stuff is for your workshop to iron out.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have a specific date in mind?
I'd really like to do it the 27th before this meeting, if we don't have a whole bunch of other stuff that we have to do before the meeting.
We'll probably have a public hearing, so at 6:30, so we can maybe do it at 5:30, if that would work.
That's
fine. I'll be out of town.
Tuesday?
You will be?
I won't be here. I have a class until 5:50.
So maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe another time.
And Steve, he's going to be gone. Dave should be back. Mm-hmm. He gets his moose. So.
Well, now, if you get close to the first, that's crab opening for Dittany.
I know. I'd like to do it in September, because I'm going the month of October. Mm-hmm. So,
So maybe we just have to pick a different time.
Okay. I'll send out a couple of dates and just I'll get a reply from everybody to see what kind of will work.
Any further discussion on this item? Well, I guess we decided on we don't have to have a poll vote on this item, no. So we'll go on to new business. 13A, proposed ordinance number 2924, an ordinance of the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the issuance of a sewer revenue bond in the principal amount of $91,000 to finance a portion of the cost of acquiring, constructing, and installing certain additions and betterments to and extensions of the borough's sewer system, fixing the date, form, terms, maturities, and covenants of the bond, reserving the right of the borough to issue future revenue bonds with a lien on revenues on a parity with the bond upon compliance with certain conditions, and providing for the sale of the bond to the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development. This is a first reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 924 and move to a second with a public hearing to be held on September 27th, 2016.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Let me explain. When we did the sewer pump stations, the project was roughly about $1 million, and initially we were we had some other grant funds, so when they got the engineering done, we were several hundred thousand dollars short. So we went to USDA and they give us this $91,000 loan, and that was what they figured we could afford. And then they give us about 168, I believe, thousand or maybe even more than that in a grant. But you have to take the loan first before you can get the grant. So this is the process where because the project is done now, this is when they do that. We actually passed a resolution, I believe, about a year ago, authorized. We needed that to proceed with them. And then when they get to the end of it, they need this actual document here. So
the revenue comes from the sewer fees?
Mm-hmm.
No new rent.
Nope.
And is this just a standard form that USDA has, 14-page resolution? Who came up
kind of, and this is our bond attorney is the one that drew up this, and
okay.
USDA requires all kind of things in there, so.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's not simple.
Any further discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jeff?
Yes. Item 13B, proposed ordinance number 925, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 18.04.040. Building permits, compliance with ordinances of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to building permits. First reading.
I move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 929 and move to a second with a public hearing to be held on September 925. Ordinance number 925 and move to a second with a public hearing to be held on September 27, 2016.
Any discussion?
I need a second.
Any discussion?
Jeff, you want to explain what we're doing here? Is this to be held on fines or enforcement? Exactly what are we doing? Amber?
This is on the building? Building
the
permits? Yeah.
Remote residential.
Yeah, so
use.
So
can you explain what we're doing here?
Maybe the two of us, but one of the things that we wanted to make sure in here that the fees and stuff for remote places, that there's not a building permit process. They don't have to go through that, I believe. Amber, is that?
That is correct, in the remote
And that was the whole idea when we come a borough. We said we're not going to mess with people out there.
Such as Myers Chuck.
Exactly. But...
And so this ordinance is doing what?
That... Well, that had to be in there to, because it wasn't before. I thought this had the fees in it.
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
This is something Carol...
Oh, this is Carol's, okay.
Yeah, this is Carol's.
Yeah, this is...
It just exempts them.
This, all this ordinance does is exempt people in the outlining areas from the building permit process. I got that confused with the actual dollar amounts.
I'm trying to get a simple...
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's my fault. But that's all it's doing.
So this includes Farm Island and Back Channel and Myers Chuck?
Right.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, proposed resolution number 09-16-1350. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, designating canvas board duties to three assembly members for canvassing the results of the regular election to be held October 4th, 2016.
Move to approve resolution number 09-16-1350, designating three members of the Assembly to canvass the results of the October 4th, 2016 municipal election.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hold on, please.
Assemblymembers Mitchell?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, proposed resolution number 09-16-1351. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the conveyance of public land, Lot 5, Block 338, U.S. Survey 1119, Plat 2015-6, Wrangell Town Site, a quitclaim deed to Lori A. Brown.
Move to approve resolution number 9-16-1351 for the sale of over-the-counter lot block, Lot 5, Block 38, USS 1119, Plat 2015-6 to Lori A. Brown.
Second.
We have moved in second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, approval to hold a special assembly meeting on Monday, October 10th, 2016 at 11:30 a.m. to certify the results of the regular borough election.
Move to adopt approve holding a special assembly meeting on Monday, October 10th, 2016 at 11:30 to certify the election results of the regular borough election to be held on October 4th, 2016.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F. Discussion of possible action regarding the potential for statewide internet sales tax added at the request of Assemblymember Decker at the last assembly meeting.
So I just kind of wanted to start a more formal discussion.
Can we have a motion, please?
It's discussion and possible action.
I'm sorry. Excuse me for interrupting.
No problem. About the possibility of sort of forwarding this idea beyond the city. I just wanted to float it and see if there's people that think it's a good idea, a bad idea. There's things that we can do if we, as a community, think it's a good idea. If not, you know, we just don't move forward on it. But kind of the concept is the state's looking at filling the budget gap, and they've got everything on the table, and they haven't really taken action on much, but after elections, you know, it looks like next session they will take action on potentially a bunch of things. One of the things they've talked about is income tax, statewide sales tax, blah, 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 and the statewide sales tax is, you know, pretty widely accepted as a bad option for communities like Wrangell. But, you know, I was thinking a statewide internet sales tax might be something that actually helps put local businesses on more of an even playing field. So I actually am slated to talk to the chamber tomorrow about it and see what they think.
We tried this in Colorado years ago, and it failed miserably. They put it on the ballot. Amazon actually quit selling to anybody in Colorado. Now, what would happen if Amazon quit selling to everybody in Alaska, and especially Wrangell? We tried the sales tax thing, and basically, our merchants can only supply so much. So you get the oddball. I'm looking for a bolt part. Sometimes I have to scour the whole United States to find a certain part. And now you're getting, this is just one more tax, one more fee in the whole structure, in the whole system. And eventually it comes out of every taxpayer. So I'm adamantly against even going there. Plus, you've got the whole question of regulation. Who's going to monitor the internet? Who's going to be the one to decide what sales are coming here and what's not? I think the task has been tried and failed before. The only way I think this is ever going to happen successfully is if the U.S. government does it.
Well, I do know that you can do that, because the state of California, if you buy something that's being shipped to California, you pay their sales tax. So I know, and Amazon will do charges you that. Without, you have no option whatsoever, because I send things down there to my kids. And same with Virginia, because they have a state sales tax. But I'd like to know, has anybody done any work at what does that do to our status as a state with no sales tax? Because in Washington, we can go down and buy things sales tax free because we don't have a state sales tax. Would that jeopardize that opportunity? I know that a lot of people here in Wrangell, since we're so close to Washington, take advantage of that. So I don't know that that would outweigh my positive thinking towards it or negative. You know, I think that I buy a lot of products down there, and the option to not have sales tax pays for the shipping to get it up here. So,
yeah.
I try to buy local as much as I can, but, you know, there are just some things you can't get here. So that's my two cents.
If it was a statewide issue, I think it would, but since it's just one community, I think, and I agree with Mark, that probably Amazon says just don't ship to Wrangell, because they're not going to...
This is statewide. She's talking about statewide sales tax for internet sales.
Well, we can't regulate state.
We can support it, though, or
no,
not.
No, yeah, that's
it.
Correct. We can't obviously regulate state. But if the community thought it was a good idea, we could forward a resolution. We could forward the resolution to AML. We could forward a resolution to our legislators in Juneau. There's things like that we can do. Because all these tax discussions, whether we like or hate taxes, they're all going to be happening this session.
That's right.
So, I don't know. I just, again, I was trying to think of ways that, you know, things that, some of these tax things that are coming down on us may be implemented with least harm to the community. That's all I was thinking. So, and I know, like, if I order something and it's something that has to be shipped by barge, I have to have it, I order online, I ship it to the barge line in Washington. Because it's shipped to the state of Washington, they charge me the state of Washington sales tax. Now that's a state sales tax overall, right. It's not just internet tax, so I'm not exactly sure how this plays out, but I thought it was worthy of discussion.
Yeah, this was a big topic at Alaska Municipal League in the summer, about whether communities that don't support a sales tax, which there are many, because we have our own, it's the smaller communities that, you know, not Anchorage and not Fairbanks, that don't support a sales tax statewide. So they were asking us what the community's thought of it. And I don't know how you do just an internet sales tax, though. It's a little more difficult, but just because we don't know how doesn't mean it can't be done.
I have to agree with Mark on this one. It's not something I can support at this time.
I just don't think Amazon would do. They'd just say it would cost them more money to regulate it and collect the taxes than it's worth to them, I think. That's my opinion.
Well, they wouldn't have a choice. It would just be if anything is shipped to the state.
They don't have to ship to anywhere in the state of Alaska.
You know,
yes,
it's still a tax. And I don't think we need to give the state any damn ideas of where to charge us on the next tax. They'll come up with their own ideas, and there'll be plenty and many, and we'll be fighting a lot of them. But so I really don't think as a borough we need to support any tax. Let's keep working on cutting costs and budgets and see what we can come up with, and we'll take whatever taxes they send our way grudgingly, and hopefully we can come to some kind of compromise in between. But I really don't think the internet is the place to start and get in this. That's my personal voice.
Any further discussion on this item?
Well, I mean, from a local business person's perspective, I think an internet sales tax of 5% would be more welcome to them than a statewide sales tax of 5% on top of our local 7% sales tax. I mean, that's how I'm like seeing how this potentially could play out. And so anyway, that was just my thinking, so.
It's an idea worth having now.
Yeah.
Anything further on this item? Okay, item 13H. Approval of a fee proposal for from
13G.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. 13G, authorization to proceed with the property tax foreclosures for tax years 2012 through 2015.
I move to authorize city staff to proceed with the property tax foreclosure for tax years 2012 through 2015 as per Wrangell Municipal Code 5.04.370.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Yes.
Jeff, how much should we get? What are we talking about?
It's probably $80,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. Normally, a foreclosure under the state of Alaska rules takes at least a year and a half to complete. And so generally we try to do these every other year. What happened here is in 2013, after the 2012 tax year, that's when Carol Bean, who was our chief accountant, left in June. Tim Rooney left a month later, and I was kind of doing that job, the finance job and the manager's job, and we didn't get Lee till the following February. And it took him a while to, you know, I was helping him. And so it just didn't get done. So that's why we're doing it a bunch of years all at once here. But generally we do that every other year.
There's no buy for junkyards in Cleveland.
Yeah, we don't want them through us.
No. And the problem with that is the law doesn't allow you to exempt anybody. You either have to do them all or nobody. So
that's why
I know.
How many properties are we talking about here?
Off the top of my head, I don't know for sure, but I would say there's usually what happens. There's, you know, maybe there's 30 or 40 of people behind, and then we're going to send out a courtesy letter that before we put it in the paper and file the judgment and all that, so people have an opportunity. The letter will go out this week or the first of next week, so they'll have 30 days to deal with it, and most of them do. It should be in that period of time where the dividends come out the 1st of October. That'll give them an opportunity to have, you know, some money there. Most people at the end of a summer have more money than they do in the wintertime. So anyway, that's the plan and the reason for the timing this time of year. Also, we just had the new collection person a while back. She was kind of actually did a great job on the sales tax. There was a couple big accounts that we got cleaned up. And then she left for another job out of town. And so we've just got a new person. We're trying to break them in. And so this will be their kind of first job, but that will be their thing every other year. We'll bring this to the assembly and keep on it after this.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. I'm going to call recess here at 7:51 for just a couple minutes.
Through the midlife.
No. What?
My hands and feet are cold.
Really?
You yeah. did just turn 40, didn't you?
Are you kidding?
Yes.
That is a compliment.
Just she's still 39. What are you talking about?
In other news.
How does everyone like Dan's mustache?
I think you need to curl it. Curl the sides out so you can handlebar it up.
It's getting there, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have some wax?
I do.
Good.
Actually, I'll grow mine down, then I grow it up, then I grow it in, then I cut it all off, then I grow the sideburn. So
I'll expect a beard this
about every week. About every month or two, you have to keep changing.
Actually, you already have the beard.
I know you did, but I expect it back for the winter.
No,
you're telling
me.
Really? It's more of a pain than
shaving?
Yeah.
Huh. We convene the meeting at 7:53. Now we've got about 13G. Authorization to, or 13H, approval of a fee proposal from CRW Engineering Groups for a preliminary engineering report for the water treatment plant improvement project.
Move to approve a contract amendment to CRW Engineering Group for development of a preliminary engineering report for a water treatment plant improvement project in a lump sum amount of $43,390. Project cost will be paid from water fund reserves.
Second.
We moved in second. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yeah.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13I, approval of change orders to BW Enterprises for the barge ramp concrete paving project.
Move to authorize insurance of change order number 1 and 4 to BW Enterprises for change conditions to the barge ramp concrete paving construction contract for the total increase of $23,221.54 and a time extension of 3 days. Additional project costs will be paid from the ports and barge ramp FY17 capital funds fund.
Second.
Capital projects fund.
Second.
We're moved in second. Any discussion?
Just a couple of questions. Is this, where did this come from? Because I have issues when somebody bids on a job, then they come back asking for more money in the pot. So what's the...
Well, down below under the background, there's a kind of a breakdown. One of the things that we did not know, it wasn't in any of the information we had, but when they were when they were digging over by the barge ramp, there was a, we knew there was a concrete bulkhead there. What we didn't know is there was tiebacks that went back farther into the ground. Amber can explain this better than I can, but that was one of the big things. So they had to make some, they had to make some modifications after the contract was awarded, because they, we didn't know that until they started digging in the dirt. So there was additional things we had to do to make that work. So that was, that was the biggest one. The other ones, I know one of the other deals was that there was a small thing in the contract that had them backfill up against with gravel, and it wasn't specific in the bid, and so they just took the excavated gravel and backfilled. And a lot of that had big rocks in it, stuff like that, and we wanted D1 there, so that was a extra. So the contractor, the things that, all the changes, these are changes of conditions of the scope. So the price that he did the bid amount for didn't change. It was all these things that came up that weren't in the original bid that changed the scope of the project.
Okay. The other question I had is on number two here, modify sidewalk apron from 6 inches thick to 12 inches thick. If we're talking about a sidewalk, why is it necessary to go from 6 inches to 12 inches on the concrete thickness?
Let me have Amber, she worked with this.
Amber on the 11.2 miles of Mobile Highway. That section of the sidewalk was actually the apron into the yard. So while it spans across the entrance going into the yard just over here, it's part of the sidewalk, but it's what the trucks drive in and out of.
Okay.
So once we got into it, realized it was 6 inches and thought about it a second time, Greg decided he wanted 12 inches in there to support the weight and the load transfers.
Okay. Yeah, that on the tie back, wasn't there some kind of blueprints or anything on when the barge ramp was built? I know that's quite common with a lot of things around here.
Mm-hmm.
You go to do something and you find that there's no real diagram, blueprints, or anything that's been completed.
That's true.
And
so what happened with that is we actually planned, because we didn't want to get close to the bulkhead, we planned originally to leave the first 5 feet of existing concrete that's adjacent to the bulkhead in place. And when the contractor went in to make that cut, he found those tiebacks. So what was happening was it was tied back about 15 feet into the contract, but that's what was, it was tied to the bulkhead holding that together. So that changed a lot of conditions for us and the contractor there.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file, we have none. Item 15, executive session, there is none. Item 16 is adjournment. We will adjourn at 7:58 p.m.